Blog Talk Radio. There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold.
You're listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen.
Who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his own.
This is the show where Christians share their walk from darkness down a sometimes long and lonely path to the light of healing and fulfillment through faith.
Seek out the hopeless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light your way.
Right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Abuse, addiction, debt, fear, guilt, heartbreak, illness, loneliness, loss of a loved one, rejection. All of these circumstances cast shadows across the paths of our lives. On this show, you will hear stories and testimonies of people just like us who have followed God's guidance out of the gloom of those dark places. Welcome to Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. Thanks for joining me for our fourth episode right here on Blog Talk Radio on this, the 6th day of October, 2015. This is the week when fall is pretty much settling in here in Colorado. It's been fairly cool in this part of the state, even though we're located down in the southeastern area where it's usually quite a bit warmer. Sadly, we've had some tragic occurrences here in the United States. On the East Coast, there's been terrible, terrible flooding, and people are just devastated from loss of their homes, businesses, and of course, there's been loss of life. Then we had the horrific shooting incident out in Oregon. I'd like to take a moment to offer our prayers to everyone involved in both of those situations. On a lighter note, the playoffs will begin this week in the baseball world. My Colorado Rockies are out of it, but I'm excited to see what's going to happen with the games over the next few days. Wishing good fortune and a successful playoff season to all of the players and fans. I'd like to make listeners aware that October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. This was instituted by President Ronald Reagan back on October 25th of 1988. If you know someone who has lost an infant or an older child, please pray for that person and express your sympathy to them if appropriate. This is also a time to make people aware of the resources that are out there for pregnant women and those who need counseling for the loss of a child. Well, it's time to get to the main focus of our show, which is our guest for today. Alita Yu was born in Hawaii to a surgeon father and a homemaker mother. She married, had two children, and pursued a graduate education in traditional Western philosophy. She has pursued a professional career in teaching and administration of higher education for over three decades. Alita has pursued study of the Bible and learning how to get closer to God throughout her life. Now retired, Alita is the author of Biblical Solutions for Daily Living, which has been described as a guide to Scripture for daily study and devotion, providing thoughtful tips and reader-friendly resources. Welcome, Alita.
Thank you, Patty. It's good to be here.
I have several questions for you this morning. And the first one, I realized that you were brought up in Hawaii. I think I brought that up in the bio. And Hawaii, even though it's a part of the United States, is still kind of a little different from...
It is.
from, you know, well, for you, the upper 48, I guess they would call it. So anyway, tell us how it was different for you than you think it would have been on the mainland.
I'm very thankful. I grew up in Honolulu, Hawaii, and Honolulu, as many of your listeners know, is on the main island, Oahu. I grew up in a very multicultural community, and I was exposed to a lot of different philosophies and religious perspectives. And I, you know, in Hawaii, there's great tolerance for people from different cultures. And it is, in many ways, a melting pot. And learning how to communicate with people from different backgrounds, I think, was an advantage for me. And I often say in Hawaii, the minority was the majority, because at that time, growing up, the rest of the mainland, we call the continental United States the mainland, did not reflect the diversity that I grew up with. And so then when I transferred to Bradley University in Peoria, Illinois, I believe it was in 1967. Hey, don't count the numbers there. But it was very unusual. Then I did feel like the minority at a predominantly what we call Caucasian school, but there were a number of other minorities, but we were definitely not the majority. So I'm thankful, as a result of growing up, that I was exposed at a very young age to a multicultural community.
You know, I was born and raised out on the east coast of Long Island, or south shore of Long Island, I should say. I meant east coast, but south shore of Long Island. And when I moved out here to Colorado, I moved to a fairly Mexican-American population. And our kids are... My mother-in-law used to watch our kids, and she was talking to them in Spanish when they were babies, and how I wish we had kept that up. We never did. So
yes.
they are not bilingual, but gee, I sure wish I wish I had learned the language, which I did not do so. Alita, you're fourth generation Korean descent, and you were raised to respect different religious beliefs. But I've often had a question that kind of plagues me, and it's one that perhaps you can help answer. How do Christians show respect for other faiths without compromising their own beliefs?
I believe it's important as Christians to... Our role model is Jesus Christ, and he also was exposed to a lot of different cultures, although he came to reconcile Israel back to God, right? He came to speak to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So I think that the Bible is our example, and Jesus Christ is our role model. So I think as Christians, we speak the truth in love. We share what we believe, and people decide whether or not they want to accept it or reject it. And fortunately, we live in a country where we have First Amendment rights, and we expect the same kind of respect and tolerance from people with a different religious background. Fortunately, we know there are countries in our world that if you don't agree with their religion, then they kill you, murder you, or tax you excessively.
Yes.
And I'd like to think of our country as being much more civilized, that there is a tolerance, and that is inherent in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And I think even though as a nation we're a little over 200 years young in comparison with countries throughout the world, we still are an example to the world that you can come to our country and with respect and mutual tolerance and respect that we can live peaceably among all men and women. So, but as Christians, I'm very proud of the fact that I am a Christian. And I find in Colorado there is a mutual respect for that belief system, but that it may not always be the case in other places. And we just share, and the best example is our walk. By their fruit you shall know them. And I think our walk, as Christians, there's something different about us. And I think when people ask that, I freely share the fact that I believe in that Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord, and that I believe the Word of God and the fact that I am a Christian. I'm very proud of that.
Well, how many times have we heard the statement, watch how you act and how you behave because you may be the only Bible a person ever reads?
Right.
And I think what you have just said reflects that. Alita,
right.
Would you share, you had a powerful experience while doing undergraduate work at the university in Illinois, and you responded to that experience in a certain manner, and your roommate responded in a certain manner. Can you share that with us?
Certainly. I should. There's a context prior to that experience. As I grew up as a Christian, and my mom taught Sunday school in Honolulu, but I was searching because I really wanted to learn how to understand the Bible. And like all college students, you read a lot of different world philosophies and exposed to a lot of different religions. But someone, and I don't even remember her name, invited me to attend a meeting where a Christian woman was going to be sharing God's word. And so I attended the meeting. And I don't remember what she taught. I know it was a very powerful, inspirational speech. And at the end of the meeting, she said, "Who wants to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your lives? And raise your hand." So I raised my hand, and I believe that's probably when I got born again. And so that night, I had an amazing dream. I thought it was a dream. I saw the spirit of, it was a Holy Spirit dove descend upon me, and I thought it was a dream. I opened my eyes, and it was still that vision was still there. And all I know is that evening I was transformed and I was changed. And when I woke up the next day, I went to the bookstore and bought a Bible and a picture of Jesus Christ. And I put it in my dorm room, which I shared with another roommate. And her response was, "Oh, you must have gotten religion." And I just looked at her and like, what's the big deal? I bought a Bible and a picture of Jesus Christ. You know, for me, that was huge. But to her, it may have been strange. I don't even remember what. But at any rate, that's her response to me. And I just like kind of looked at her and said nothing. And I just started reading the Bible from that day. Although I did remember reading the Bible when I was little, I read John 14:12, and that changed my life, where Jesus Christ said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father." I was about 10 years old at the time, and I said, yeah, I believe that scripture. But it wasn't until even after college in 1984 that I started taking Bible classes and really understood the spiritual significance of what that scripture meant. But I believe that was a turning point for me, because I was looking for peace and I was looking for answers. And so that experience in college made a huge impact on my life. But it wasn't until years later, because God knew I was searching, that I came to understand the Word of God as a result of taking classes.
And I think it's interesting, Alida. I know in my own experience, I've probably read the Bible through twice, maybe three times in the span of my lifetime, okay? Following the different little, those little guides that you can use to get through the Bible in a year, which, of course, I never make it in a year. I don't know how people do, if they do. Anyway, a dear friend of mine loaned me her Life Application Study Bible. Well, loaned me. I've had it 3 years now. But anyway, I've been reading through that, and it's got copious footnotes. And the interesting thing is some of the areas of the Bible that in the past were very dry and very much, "I can't wait to get through this," now I find just fascinating. For example, right now I'm in the Minor Prophets, like Nehemiah, I believe. I just finished Nehemiah, and it's like, oh, man, I can't wait for the next day in my Bible reading time so I can find out what's going to happen, you know. Even though I've read it in the past, this time I'm reading it with a whole different perspective. And I think God does that for us. He opens our eyes to what we need to see at the time. So it's a fascinating adventure, I think, to read through the Bible.
Yes.
So during your quest for God, you studied New Age books. You even consulted a psychic. Did you find these resources fulfilling or dissatisfying, and why?
Well, thank God, God was protecting me as I was on my quest. I'm like, God is very long-suffering with all of us. But he knew the heart that I was looking, searching for him. So I did read New Age books because I was searching. Philosophy, I thought, surely I'm going to find God in philosophy, and it means a love of wisdom. That's what a philosophy means. But it just brought greater confusion to my mind. And, you know, as I soon learned, because that's what my degree is in, my graduate degree is in philosophy of education. But I just was so confused because the nature of philosophy is asking questions, but they never want to answer questions. They want to search for more questions. So it was always, yeah. it was very unfulfilling. I mean, and that's the nature of philosophy, asking questions. Not necessarily arriving at the correct answer, but just searching and asking greater questions, and then, of course, debating about those questions. So that was very unfulfilling. The New Age books and the psychic, I mean, charged me $60 cash, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, and that was a lot of money at the time.
Sure.
So I said, oh, sure, maybe I'll find some answers. No, and thank God, God protected me from that. So it was just so unfulfilling, but it wasn't until I came to the Word, I found that it was the key that unlocked that golden door in learning how to study the Bible, learning how to apply it in my life. And the classes I took, I did want to mention, they're offered to The Way International, the biblical, which is a biblical research, teaching, and fellowship ministry. And if anyone wants to know more about how to study the Bible, how to apply biblical principles in your lives, they do have a website called www.theway.org. So that's what we do. We research the Bible. We study it. We learn to apply it. So it's a biblical research, teaching, and fellowship ministry. And that's when the Word just started opening up in my own life, and I just learned how to apply it. And I'm a student of the Bible ever since. Because and prior to that, I thought the Bible contradicted itself. I didn't understand that there were figures of speech, and the Bible is an Eastern book, so they're known as Orientalisms in the Bible. You learn about that. Right. So I really learned to research and study the Word of God for me, and that's what opened the door to my understanding fully what the Scriptures meant and then how to apply it in my life.
Something that we need to remember, too, that is difficult for us to realize is that the whole context of the times, what life was like back then, and
right.
who these people were that were being written to, and what their customs were and what their beliefs were, and that makes it hard for us to put it in that context, because I think we're so rooted in what we know and believe and live now that it's hard
right,
to imagine
exactly
what the culture was
and
like
yet,
back then.
Right. But as Christians, though, you know, they were first called Christians in Antioch in the book of Acts, right? The Acts is
yes.
a transitional record. But the great walk that we have in terms of God's grace and mercy toward us is in the epistles. You know, Ephesians is one of the greatest revelations given to the Christians that the Apostle Paul wrote. You know, all of those seven epistles that he wrote are just tremendously filled with the power and what's available to us as Christians that we should be walking in. And yes, the context of the Old Testament, great, great learning for us. You know, because we worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Jesus Christ came out of that lineage. So, but it's the epistles that's addressed to us in the grace administration that we're living in. And that's the greatness and the walk that we have available to us as Christians. And that's learning to, you know, in 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God exhorts us to study his word because that's God's love letter to his children.
Yes. Well, you've probably answered this somewhat
Alita, but it's the late 70s, and you appear to be living the American dream. You have a wonderful husband who happened to be a pilot. You have two beautiful children. You have a job that you love, and yet something was missing. And I think you pretty much shared with us that emptiness. Is there anything further you would like to say about that?
There was a, you know, you're right. I mean, from all sense knowledge, perceptions, I was living the American dream, but there was a spiritual void. I wanted to know God. I wanted to know God's will for my life. So, you know, the material and the physical, you know, that was the American dream for all intents and purposes, but there's a spiritual hunger, I think, that people have. And sometimes people think, well, if I get this job, or if I make this amount of money, or if I get this or do that. But if it's a spiritual hunger, that material or that physical will never fill that void. The only thing that fills the void is God and His Word, right? And then getting born again, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in our lives. That's what I was searching for. And that's what got filled. And that's what was missing from my life until I came to the Word.
Well, I don't think I mentioned this earlier in the show, but you were a military family, actually. Your husband was in the Air Force, and you experienced a rather heartbreaking disappointment. He had received an Air Force transfer back to your home state of Hawaii. You were ecstatic. Your family was ecstatic. And all of a sudden, you got slammed in the face when you found out that you were not going to Hawaii, but you were going to New Jersey.
What a contrast.
Yeah, exactly. You shared with me that when you called your mom and told her that, she said, "Where's New Jersey?"
Exactly. Right. It's the other end of the world.
Yeah, exactly. Was it, as it turns out, though, you did meet someone there, and how did that help you on your journey to acquire the knowledge of God that you had been seeking? If you would share that with us, Alita.
Sure. You know, God is so amazing. I just, you know, and exactly right. I mean, I was a military wife for 29 years, and the Air Force had shipped all of our household goods and my car, my two job offers in Hawaii. My parents were ecstatic that I was coming home. And then 2 weeks before, they said, "Oh, you're not going to Hawaii. You're going to New Jersey." And that was very disappointing, sense knowledge wise. But you know, I still believe. I said, well, you know, for some reason God wants us not in Hawaii, in New Jersey. And sometimes we don't always recognize that, but I said, that's, I don't know, for some reason God wants us there. And that was where, in New Jersey in 1984, that I got in the Word. And I invited my chiropractor's wife out to lunch. God put it on my heart, you know. And ever since I was little, I remember praying, "May thy will, God, be done and not mine." And so God put it on my heart to invite my chiropractor's wife out to lunch, which I did. And I just started sharing my heart with her. And she said, "Oh, you should come to our Bible fellowship." And you know, so she invited me to the Bible fellowship. And then I found out, you know, the Word that was taught was just tremendous. And I heard the manifestations of Holy Spirit. It was done decently and in order, and it was a home Bible fellowship. And so I thought, wow, you know. And then she told me, "Oh, and by the way, there are classes that are available, you know, that you can sign up for." I said, wow, that I want to learn the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I came to the Word, in terms of understanding, you know. And different people come to the Word in different ways, but that's how God led me to the Word, and I started taking classes, and it was a life changing experience for me, definitely. And so I'm very thankful God brought us to New Jersey, because that's where I really started studying the Word and really immersed myself in the Word of God. And apparently, you know, I learned later that there are Bible fellowships all over the state, the country, and the world. But that's where God wanted me to be at that point in my life.
And that's what I was going to ask you, Alita. This is a national and international fellowship, and is there a website for them where folks could look them up and
right.
perhaps find their closest
Bible Fellowship. It's if they Google www.theway.org.
Oh, it's the same one that you gave me earlier. Okay.
Yes. Right.
Okay,
their
fine.
Bible Fellowships, and you're right, it is an international biblical research, teaching, and fellowship ministry. If they their Bible Fellowships all over the states, the country, and in 36 countries. So
wow.
the word is moving, yes, throughout the world. And God knows that the word needs to be moving because
oh, yes,
we
he does.
are have a spiritual adversary who steals, kills, and destroys. And we see that. We see the evil that exists. And so as Christians, we need to become strong. You know, as Ephesians 6:12 says, we have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, because we wrestle not against principalities and powers, but against spiritual wickedness from on high places. So as Christians, it is imperative that we learn how to operate the gift of Holy Spirit, learn how to apply the word in our lives, because the word does say, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And that takes studying the Bible, knowing who we are in Christ, and being able to operate the power of God in their lives, our lives as born-again believers. And, yeah, so that's so important. And, yeah, so it's www.theway.org. If you contact headquarters, which is located in New Knoxville, Ohio, they will tell you or direct you to the nearest Bible Fellowship in your area.
Very good. Okay, well, Lita, I want to ask you, of course, the theme of our show is Step into the Light, Out of Darkness. And I would like to ask you, what is the darkest time you have been through in your life? Maybe moving to New Jersey until you... fellowship.
Well, that turned out to be a blessing in disguise. I say that probably the darkest time was my divorce. You know, I was married for 29 years to an Air Force pilot, and it looked from the outside that I had a great marriage and two beautiful children and all of that. But I think when he was he had a remote tour to France, and he ended up acquiring a mistress. And, you know, as Princess Di said, it was getting a little crowded in the relationship. And, you know, I'm like, okay. And he wanted to bring the mistress home for the holidays. I said, no, that's not going to work.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm looking at, are you crazy? I'm like, what? you know, he just asked me nonchalantly, and I looked him in like, I said, I was so dumbfounded. I said, you know, it's not going to set a good example for the children. So this affair was carrying on, and, you know, I did ask to be forced to see counseling, marriage counseling, and after one session, he said he didn't want to go to the counselor anymore. I mean, and I said, I knew that my marriage was over. I mean, if a marriage isn't based on the Word of God, then there's no solid foundation. And I'm not criticizing other women who stay in bad marriages for whatever reason, but I knew I couldn't stay in a marriage
right.
where there was a third person in the relationship. So that was very, very difficult for me personally. So, you know, I filed for divorce. If it's not based on the word, then it's not based on anything. Mm-hmm. So that was probably the most difficult time. And then healing, going through the process of healing, because you don't heal instantaneously, but God is always there. You know, regardless of what a person goes through, whether it's a bad marriage, whether it's abuse, whatever it is, that God is always there, because God is faithful, you see. And so that's how God helped me to heal.
I'm going to take a moment here, Alita, for a little station identification. It's the nature of Blog Talk Radio for people to come and go. So I wanted our listeners, if we have listeners who have just entered the show in the past few minutes, I would like to make everyone aware that you are listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen right here on Blog Talk Radio. Our guest today is Dr. Alita Yu. Alita has been talking to us about her search for God and what she has learned through God's word, and we have much more to come. But I also want to make listeners aware of where they can find Alita, where they can find me. First of all, Alita has a website, and it is www.alitayou, that is spelled AlitaYOU.com. And she has some wonderful things over there for folks to take a look at. And also, we will be discussing her book in a while, which can be found on Amazon.com. Alita also mentioned theway.org, and that refers to the Bible Fellowship program that she talked about, which has many resources for learning the Bible. I want to make listeners aware that I have a website. It is pattysheene.com. It's spelled PattySheene.com. If you go to that website and check the Blog Talk Radio tab, you will find a website and social media information page, which will contain the information I just gave you about Alita and all of our other guests. I know sometimes folks listen to the show and they hear a website or a reference or whatever, and they don't catch it, they don't write it down, or they're not in a place where they can do that. So I have created that little section on my website so that folks can refer back to it and find out what they may have missed as far as links and so such. Also, I want to make folks aware that I have a Facebook page. I have two, actually. One is Step Into the Light. Love to have you go and like that page, and that's where I keep my listeners aware of the shows, what's coming up next, and so such. Also, I have a personal Facebook page that you are welcome to friend me. It is Patty Sheen Gonzalez, and you're welcome to go on over there, and I try to put little interesting things on there as well. I'm not a huge Facebooker. I'm getting more into it. It's taking me some time. Also, I am on Twitter. My handle is at Patty Sheene. Again, that's spelled PattySheene. So I'd love to have you friend me, follow me, come to the website, leave me a note on one of the little blogs that I have. I usually host author guests on my blogs. I have Patty's Porch and I have the Over 50 Writer, which pretty much speaks for itself. But the purpose of those blogs is to encourage other writers and to get the word out there about their work. So come on over and visit whenever you get a chance and let me know you were there. If you have any comments you'd like to make about the show, I'd love to hear them. My email is patty.sheene@gmail.com. So, hey, drop me a line. Let's get back to Alita. Alita, you've been through a lot, and you've done a lot of research and so such. Is there a particular quote or verse of Scripture that has led you out of times of darkness and back to the light?
I love Proverbs 3:5-6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." And so that scripture speaks to me, because there are times when you don't know what to do. And the word gives us direction. And trusting God, you know, sometimes I tend to get impatient. You know, I will believe for certain things, and you want it now.
The rest of us never do that.
God. Yeah, right. How come this is taking so long? Right? I want it now. But you know what? It's always in God's time. And that's just the Proverbs 3:5-6, trusting in God. We do what we can according to his word. And then sometimes some things take a little longer, whether it's, let's say, for example, a healing, you know, like the woman who touched the hem of Jesus Christ's garment. Well, she was healed instantly, but she waited for 12 years, I believe it was, in that record. But, you know, God works within us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So trusting God, and it's in God's time frame, not mine, that I've had to learn, and I'm still learning that. So So that's probably one of my all-time favorite scriptures. And the other one I love is 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. God's will is that we prosper and be in health. You know, it's and that's so important. That really opened my eyes, that God's will is for us to have, be prosperous and be healthy as our soul prospereth. You know, so our soul, it refers to our, there's a Greek word called nous, our minds. So in our minds, I had to learn that that's what God's will is for my life. That's God's will for every Christian's life, is that we prosper and be in health. So those two scriptures are probably, you know, come to mind when I think about my favorite scriptures. And of course, I have other scriptures. But, you know, as you read the word, whatever the need is, God will show you in his word, because his word pertains all things to unto life and godliness. And every question that you have is in the word of God, because he has answers to every challenge that we could ever encounter.
Yes. What is the most valuable lesson you feel you have learned through studying the Bible? And that's probably not a fair question, because I'm sure there are many.
I think probably the greatest lesson is that we do have a spiritual adversary who steals, kills, and destroys. And that's, you know, very clearly stated in John 10:10. And it is a formidable adversary. You know, Lucifer, if you read in Isaiah, was second in command to God. You know, there's the three archangels, Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael.
Yes. Well,
Lucifer was second in command to God. He was the most beautiful angel there was. But he wasn't happy being second in command. He wanted to be God. And because of rebellion and pride, he took a third of the angels. And the word says he is now the God of this world in 1 Corinthians 4:4. He is the God of this world. So whenever you see suffering, poverty, murder, whenever you see killing, you know, in terms of murdering people, the evil that exists in the world, people would say, if they, or let's say a bad weather, a tornado, oh, it's God's will, or it's an act of God, insurance companies would say. Well, the question I say is, so which God are you referring to? Because the one true God is God is light, right? In him is no darkness at all. But the word talks about a spiritual adversary, the God of this world, Lucifer, Satan, and there are all these names. And I mentioned that in my book. So that was really an eye-opening for me. And the word talks about how we deal with that. And we never attribute tragedy to the one true God. It's always, and the secret of his success is the secrecy of his moves. But it's a light that dispels darkness. Light of God's word just tells us what's behind the scenes in world events and catastrophes and horrible things like Oregon or like 9/11.
Yes.
We know who's behind that. Those of us who read the word, we know who's behind that. It is our spiritual adversary, the devil. And let's call it for what it is. But interestingly, a lot of people don't believe in the existence of evil. They don't believe in the existence of the devil. But the devil is real and alive and is operating through the systems of the world. But again, God never leaves us empty-handed. God, because of Jesus Christ, when we're born again of the gift of Holy Spirit, in Romans 10:9-10, if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you are born again. You have the gift of Holy Spirit within you. But a lot of Christians are born again, but they don't know that they're born again, and they don't know that they have the ability to operate all nine manifestations of Holy Spirit. But it's there, and it's available for anyone who wants to learn how to operate it and how to utilize it in their lives to help themselves, to help other people, you know, and to counteract, you know, and dismantling the works of the devil. It's definitely available. Yes.
Alita, it almost reminds me of someone who walks into a library and sits down at a table and looks around but never gets up and opens a book. All those resources are there around them, and they never take advantage of any of it. And I think we are that way with our relationship with God, that we have so much power within Him and so much ability to resist worry and fear and temptation and all these things, but we just don't tap into it.
Right.
Well, Lita, I want to get into talking about your book. You are the author of Biblical Solutions for Daily Living. And tell us what your main motivation was for writing the book.
Writing the book took me a little over 10 years to write.
Oh, my. Well, that encouraged me.
Yeah. What could I say? I'm a slow writer.
I've been long past that.
So what it was is it was a catharsis for me because of what I was going through when I was challenged with the dissolution of my marriage falling apart. So I just started writing, you know, and so writing was very therapeutic for me, and I wanted to write because God was leading me out of that darkness with His Word, and I wanted to help other people because that's what God delivered me from in terms of, you know, the anger, the bitterness, the depression, the all of those emotions that we go through when we're hit with a challenging situation. So God was, the Word was my antidote, my salvation. You know, Jesus Christ already saved us, but I had to learn how to renew my mind to deal with those challenging situation. So my main motivation was to help other people, for them to recognize that whatever challenges they're going through, that God's Word has the answer to any of those challenges. And that when we turn to God, you know, God will deliver us. And so, the Word of God is a living, dynamic Word. You know, God is alive today as He was for the Old Testament believers. And as we search the Scriptures and learn how to operate the gift of Holy Spirit and learn how to apply the Word in our lives, God will absolutely bring to pass the desires of your heart and will absolutely bring you out of that darkness into His light. So it was to help others to know that there are answers in His Word, you know, that will help to deliver them, because God definitely delivered me from that situation.
Well, I noticed in your book, if I remember correctly, Lita, it's been a little while since I read it. I'm getting that double echo again, and I don't know why. You seem to use the older versions of the Bible. Is there a special reason for that?
Right. I use the King James Version because when I took the classes, the King James Version is the only Bible where the words that are added by the translators are in italics. But in a biblical resource ministry that I'm affiliated with, we use a lot of different resources. I mean, we use, you know, the Amplified Bible. We learn about, I use Young Concordance. But for the Bible, I love the King James language. I think it's beautiful. But there's also the Messenger Bible. There are other resources that, you know, Christians can use. Because it is, I mean, you know, it can be challenging in terms of the King James Version, but I think it's a beautiful language. And learning how to study the Word has helped me to understand, you know, for example, when the Word says to fear God, you learn that comes from the Hebrew word yer, and that means to respect or reverence God. So you learn that when you research the Word. That's not fear that we know of, but we need to respect and reverence God. So that's why we can have an added on the talent. And that's important to know.
Alita, you were employed in the educational system in esteemed positions on the college level for several years. What positives do you see about the way our educational system is shaping the minds of young adults, and what negatives did you see?
And I think raising our children in the Word is really critical in terms of giving them a strong foundation in the Word, because they will be exposed to a lot of different perspectives. You know, we do have one of the best higher educations in the world in that regard. Our K-12 educational system, it's a challenge. I know in New Jersey we had over 600 school districts, and so that was a challenge.
I think,
I'm still learning about Colorado's educational system. But as a nation, it's important that our children, our young people are educated to think critically, right? And but I think the foundation for any education is the Word of God. So you'll be exposed to a student is exposed to different ideas. But I think overall the educational system is very liberal. But I think if you have a strong foundation in the Word, then that's a great open door to share the Word with others. Because the adversary, the spirit, the devil is always after the Word. Right, but I think we need to be able to ask questions, to think critically, and to be able to share the Word with others in any avenue of life, whether it's in higher education, whether it's talking to someone on a lunch break at work. But I think, and I'm very thankful to have been in higher education, both as a professor and as a senior administrator. And I think it's important for us to have our sphere of influence is very important. Wherever we are, whatever backgrounds we have, whatever avenue of vocation a person is in, our sphere of influence, we should never underestimate the impact that our lives have on other people. And so I have many fond memories of, you know, the best part of higher education for me was working with students, because they're just so wonderful. And, you know, you may not always quote scripture, but the principles that you share from the Word, that gets people's attention. I know in higher education, too, I was 27 years at Rutgers. I went from being a professor at Incarnate Word College in San Antonio, Texas. And then when we moved, we transferred to New Jersey. I was very blessed to work at Princeton as assistant director of the teacher preparation program. And then from there, I went to Rutgers for 27 years, where I was a senior administrator. And I think, you know, in terms of the lives and the witnesses, the Word says we're witnesses, I'd like to think that I made a positive impact with the faculty I interacted with and the students that I worked with. And so I'm very thankful for that. But again, higher education or whatever, if a person is working in a beauty shop, or it doesn't matter, we can all be witnesses. Because
yes.
God's Word and culture needs to prevail. And if we don't share the Word, who else will? And if we're not witnesses, right? People will say, well, what's different about you? And that is a great open door, say, you know, to be a witness. So, you know, that's where God wanted me to be, and I'm very thankful for that. But I'm at a different, now that I'm retired, and I'm at a different phase in my life.
Sure.
I'm doing other things. I don't have to wake up really early in the morning. The greatest thing is being able to sleep. You know, and if it's rainy or snowy outside, I just turn over my bed and go back to sleep. It's just a blessing. I'm really thankful for that, yeah.
Actually, I worked a lot of the off shifts, so I was one of those people that was going to work at 3 in the afternoon and getting off at midnight, or going to work at midnight and getting off early in the morning.
Oh, my God.
So my schedule was crazy, because if I go to bed before midnight, it's early for me.
Yes, I bet. Well, yeah. But wherever you are, that's where, you know, God wants you to be. And if the workforce is, you can always believe for a different job. I mean, if there's no open door there,
well,
that's
I'm not
trusting in God, right?
I'm like you. I'm not working anymore officially, so...
Yeah, right. But yet you're busier than ever. You're doing all the things you love, which is what I'm doing.
Yes, exactly. Alita, with about 4 minutes left, you are serving on Dr. Ben Carson's campaign. How has this experience helped you develop a deeper understanding of American politics, or has it?
Well, I have to admit, I was never involved in politics. I mean, I voted. I did my civic duty by voting. I'm very blessed, because when I was at Rutgers, I was coordinating a statewide conference. And this is when Dr. Carson was still at Johns Hopkins, and he wrote Gifted Hands. And I invited Dr. Carson to be our keynote speaker a number of years ago. And I was so impressed with his humility. I mean, he's a brilliant man, and many of his listeners saw the movie Gifted Hands. It is on Netflix, and it's a story that describes his life, and it stars Cuba Gooding Jr. But I heard that Dr. Carson was running for president, and I said, you know what? I have to get involved. So it's like you show up, everybody comes up, and I said, oh, yeah, you'll be the Douglas County contact with Dr. Carson. So that's it, what I became. I mean, and so I was we're getting into all kinds of trouble. We called class running to his grade, and his mom got of course, they hated that at first. But then he went from class dummy to first in his class. Then he enjoyed learning to read. And then he eventually won a scholarship to Yale and went to University of Michigan Medical School. And he's the first neurosurgeon, pediatric neurosurgeon, to separate two Siamese twins conjoined at the back of their heads. And the rest, as they say, is history. And he retired. Mm-hmm. He was not interested in running for politics at all, and but there was such, when he gave a speech at the National Prayer Breakfast in 2013, where President Obama and his wife were sitting at the same table, and Dr. Carson criticized Obamacare, the next day the Wall Street Journal said, Ben Carson for president. So I'm part of the super PAC of win-then-win. You know, it's a grassroots effort to get Dr. Carson first to run, and now to get him elected on the Republican ticket, and ultimately to win the presidential election. I believe Dr. Carson walks by the Spirit of God. He attributes wisdom to God. He loves the Word, loves the Constitution, and wants less government. He wants us to be we the people, and he wants to unite our country. And as you notice, he's one of the few people who is never... you know, politics can be a very dirty business, but he's conducted himself with great class. But he's not afraid to speak the truth in love. And, you know, people mistake, you know, as Christians, we're, you know, we speak the truth in love, and people mistake meekness or humility for weakness. This is not a weakness. He is strong. And so he's doing really well in the polls, and I encourage, you know, whatever man of God Christians believe, and we have a number of great candidates on the Republican ticket, and but our country is at a critical time in its history, and it is the responsibility of all of us to get involved in some way at the local, state, or national level. And did you know, Patty, that 40% of evangelical Christians did not vote in the the last election.
Oh, that's sad.
That is terrible.
It is.
We need to make our voices heard. We need to get actively involved. Even though it's a dirty business, we as a nation need to be. That's the founding fathers,
you know,
who believed in God's word. So,
Lita, I hate to cut you off, but we are down to less than a minute on our show.
Okay.
I want to thank you so very much. I do apologize to our listeners. I know that there has been some really bad audio here, and I don't know why. I do apologize. I know there were times, Alita, I could hardly hear you. So I hope that the listeners were able to. Once again, I want to thank you for being a guest on the show today. God bless you.
Thank you. Bless you too, Patty. Thank you. And bless you to all the listeners as well. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you. Bye now. Next week, folks, we will have Pastor Joanne White. She pastors the First Presbyterian Church in Saranac Lake, New York. She recently took a sabbatical to Scotland and will share why she went over there, what she learned, and what she saw while she was there. And once again, listeners, I apologize that there was technical problems. I really don't know what caused that, whether it was on my end or... But when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. See you next week, Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. God bless you all.